every sense. It's been a
welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com or follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salin. That's S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Sam's. And our next segment is Teen Rap with Pastor Drew Sams. Pastor Drew has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 5 years. He's also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California. And he has become a very special friend of mine. Thank you, and welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, as always, a joy to be on with you.
Again, I want to thank you for the wonderful blurb you wrote for my forthcoming book. I am hoping you will sell about 1,000 copies at your church. I will inscribe them individually if you'd like. And, in fact, the store is open at brucesalin.com. But for you, of course, I will bring you a box of books, and we will figure something out to do.
Yeah, I've got a lot of people I've been telling it about and are looking forward to it being published.
You're also you are quoted in my store, if you haven't seen it. I took it word for word, your unbelievably flattering blurb, not to mention how well written it was. So you're right there in the store, and you will be in the book and the first page of the blurbs and the dedication, so to speak.
Well, fantastic.
So teaching teens to care. I'm sure it's something you've never faced in your ministry.
Boy, you know, sometimes with this generation, they're almost teaching me to care more than I'm teaching them to care. I found, I don't know if you've noticed this, but these kids that I'm working with, this generation that's coming up, are so affected by events going on. And I mean, of course, what happened recently in Japan, and as that radiated out in the Pacific, I'm getting texts
literally.
From kids, literally, you know, I have students texting me saying, okay, what's going to be our response? What are we going to do about this? And I was kind of blown away because I was getting more texts and Facebook messages and phone calls from high school age kids than I was their parents, my peers, my friends. And it was very interesting to see how quickly these students wanted to jump on to helping in some way.
Well, you touched on one of the topics that's not only in my column, but that I raised in the first segment when I was by myself, which is, and I don't often really go there, but would you, I mean, I can't imagine you disagree with the statement, but would you believe the fact that these kids are being raised in a religion that has a firm set of values? Do you think that was not a contributing factor to their care?
I believe so, but I also think that even beyond that, that we're living in a world that, you know, makes tragedy so accessible. I remember while watching the horrific images and videos coming in, that the newscasters kept saying, this is the most documented disaster in human history. Mm-hmm. We have more images, more videos, more on-the-scene coverage than we ever have. And so having access to that, and yeah, and I do believe paired with, you know, a value system that values helping others, that seeks, you know, to care for others and not just look out for our own means. That's true. I do think that there's a worldview that contributed to that.
You know, it's interesting that you talk about the immediacy of the event. First of all, I must say I'm gratified to hear you take the much more positive approach versus the somewhat cynical approach that I took in my article. I'm much happier to be on the positive side of this equation and to hear that from you. But the thing that I also noted as those immediate images were coming across was the difference between the two events that were happening relatively simultaneously. One was, call it natural or God-made, a disaster. The Japanese earthquake and tsunami. And one was a war-related thing, which is when Gaddafi was turning the tide and killing and victimizing so many of the Libyans. And so one was, in fact, influenced and wrought by a man, and the other by nature or God, however you want to look at it. And seeing the images from Libya, of cell phone photos showing what was going on in the streets was, for me, as powerful in a much different way as the extraordinary images from Japan. Because the contrast between what we do to ourselves as human beings and what we have no influence over like what happened in Japan, was very, very stark for me.
Yeah, the power that we have as humans to either bring life or to squash life in many ways can be at the level that nature, and, you know, or we believe that God can rot.
I'd like you to continue on the more positive approach you began with, because number one, you're making me feel good as I struggle with my own teenagers, one of whom is a little bit more callous than the other, but that may flip, who knows. I'd like to hear more about some of the good works that your kids are at church are getting involved with and that you're involved with in this regard.
Yeah, you know, I think about the word compassion, and it literally means it's so much more than just an emotional empathy. The kind of the root of the word compassion is literally to suffer with another. And I saw these students literally suffering alongside people in Japan and around the Pacific. That, you know, kids were saying, "Gosh, I don't feel like eating today." It was interesting seeing how physically affected they were by what happened. And as I've been reflecting on that, I wonder if as we get older and older and older, as we see images either close by or halfway around the world of human suffering, I wonder if because we do get so physically affected by it, I wonder if we try as a defense mechanism to kind of block it out, to get numb to it. And I wonder if adolescents are so young in their, you know, receiving these images, that they haven't learned how to turn that off yet. I don't know. I don't know if you've experienced that at all. Would you agree that maybe as we get older, we say, "Gosh, it's all around. There's nothing we can do." But maybe there's that youthful zeal that says, "Yeah, we can make a difference." Have you seen that at all?
I'm not sure I've noted it and observed it, but as I'm hearing it, it rings completely real and true. I do believe there's a loss of innocence. One of my concerns about our youth is that the bombardment of imagery they get that isn't inspiring in any way is jading that innocence. On the other hand, in this case, it is bringing out their compassion and their care and their concern. So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, yeah. And with this younger generation, like you said, earlier you said, you know, the immediacy that we have online to be able to see these images, the name eludes me, but I read an article recently that talked about, I think they called it clicktivism rather than activism. That right now all we got to do is do a couple clicks on our computer to maybe send a link for others to donate money, or we can, you know, vote here or like something, that we don't have to get as engaged in helping others because we live in a world of clicktivism.
I think that was
the word they used.
That's very good. Very good.
So
I'm going to steal that for Boomer Tech Talk. Hope
there
you don't mind.
Clicktivism.
Clicktivism. We are out of time. Next week is open mic week, and I am very excited and curious what you will be bringing. So we'll talk about that beforehand. Please remind our listeners where your new blog is and what it's called.
Well, it's a long word, a phrase, I should say, but it's wewillsinganewsong.com.
Wewillsinganewsong.com is where you can find Pastor Drew's blogs. Pastor Drew, we'll talk with you next week for Open Mic. It is time for another break. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen or email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. This is the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View.
Got his own. Yes, the strong gets more, while the weak ones fall.